How many times have you wanted to wring somebody's neck and the Holy Spirit was like, mm-mm? How many times are you ready to send that text and the Holy Spirit's like, erase it? And he does that, doesn't he? He's so good. And much more than that, the Holy Spirit is the one that tells us, hey, I don't care if you were wrong or right.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio. Last time in the Building Foundation series, we covered Ezra chapter 6 in its entirety. We saw the temple completed and the people rejoicing. What was sown in tears was finally reaped in joy. Today we move into Ezra chapter 7, with verses 1 through 10, in a message titled, Three Keys to Building the Foundations of Our Heart. In this passage, Ezra steps into the scene. He's described as a man skilled in the law of Moses, but more than that, we're told something deeper about his heart. Ezra had set his heart in three clear ways. In the same way, the Holy Spirit leads our heart. One, to seek God's word, to pursue truth personally, not casually, to live it out, not just to learn from it, but to obey it. And third is to teach others, to pass it on, helping others in their walk too. These are not rushed decisions. They are settled commitments. And through that, God's hand was on Ezra's life. Strong spiritual foundations aren't built quickly. They're built intentionally as we seek, live, and share God's word. So which of these areas, seeking, living, or sharing God's word, needs to be strengthened in your life right now? Let's turn to Ezra chapter 7 and join Pastor Ben in today's message, Three Keys to Building the Foundations of Our Heart.
Now, up until this point, jot this down, Ezra was not physically there. He's not there in the first six chapters. He's writing this as a historian and as a scribe, but he's not there physically. You go, okay, got this. He doesn't show up till when? Till when the temple is completed. He's showing up now. God has a perfect plan and a perfect time, okay? He's not showing up till chapter 7. Give me an amen if you understand, okay? You go, okay, so Ben, what's the point? Jesus told us it was to our benefit that he go away. Do you remember that? He had resurrection. He had resurrected, and he's standing there physically, and he's like, guys, I'm going to have to go. I'm gonna go to the vine. And if it was me there, I'm like, no, right? We're just getting started. Are you kidding me? And I think I'd be like that kid with his arms and legs around Jesus holding him because I don't want him to go. But he says, it's to your benefit that I go. Why? Because if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. The Parakletos, it's the Greek word where we get comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. So Jesus ascends to heaven, right? Angels and everybody looking up going, oh, what's going on? He sends the Holy Spirit. Day of Pentecost, blows our mind, right? Speaking in tongues, people getting saved. The Holy Spirit living in us. You're like, cool, I get that. Ezra is a type, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Because the temple foundation is already done. And now he's coming to bring comfort and to walk with the rest of the people in the task at hand. You're like, wow. Why? Because the Lord says that you're the temple and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And it was only at the right time. You ask the question, the Holy Spirit wasn't really present in the Old Testament? Oh, no, he's come upon people at times in the Old Testament, but not like the New Testament. It wasn't only until Jesus, ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, is the third person of the Trinity, and he's coming to walk with you and comfort you. And you go, Ben, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Listen, when you read the scripture in the book of Ezra, you can see the gospel message and how it ties in beautifully to the New Testament. And all you can do is shake your head and go, wow, only God could do this. Only God can do this. This is why at Calvary Chapel, we study the Old Testament on Wednesday nights because it's so pertinent. And if you'll pull that nugget out, you're like, wow. Wow, what a great nugget that is. That although Ezra, Pastor Ezra is coming physically to help the people, to comfort the people, to walk with the people, that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. Here's my challenge to you. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been walking in the Holy Spirit every single day? That's the difference in your walk, to be filled with His Spirit. Church, we're called to love and serve people. The only way we can do that is being filled with the Spirit and us being put out of the way. And the task that we have to build, the foundation we're building in our life, growing closer to Jesus, you know what we need? I need help. I need the Holy Spirit. Think about your life for a minute. How many times have you wanted to wring somebody's neck and the Holy Spirit was like, mm-mm? How many times are you ready to send that text and it was, and the Holy Spirit's like, erase it? And you're like, but, and He's like, erase it. And He does that, doesn't He? He's so good. And much more than that, the Holy Spirit is the one that tells us, hey, I don't care if you were wrong or right. Go apologize. Restore the relationship. Sweetie, I'm sorry. Baby, I'm sorry for saying that. I didn't mean that. Oh, please forgive me. Though, listen, church, as believers, those words, not that we go around offending people, but those words should come more from our mouth. I'm sorry, please forgive me. They shouldn't be, you know, somewhere dusty, you know, it's like, oh, I don't ever use that word. No, we offend people. We have a hard time, and the Holy Spirit reminds us, hey. Let me say one last thing, and then we'll move on. You ready? The closer you walk with Jesus, the closer you walk with God, the more you depend on the Holy Spirit, and the more you see who you really are. Ezra, during this time, guys, his heart was being prepared for service. Let me give you some encouragement today. You ready? Because our hearts are ready for service through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me just say this. Number one, God is preparing you today for your tomorrows. You're here today because God is preparing you today for your tomorrows. Okay? He was preparing the heart of Ezra to come and help, but He didn't say, don't go in chapter one. He said, Ezra, go in chapter seven. I'm being silly, of course, but this is what God's doing. He's preparing you today through Bible study, through prayer, through fellowship for your tomorrows. Number two, God uses all kinds of people. What do you mean? Think about the rebuilding of the temple. Think about the rebuilding of the walls in the book of Nehemiah. He uses people and he uses everyone. So a lot of people think, well, I'm not called into the ministry. I'm not called. But listen, everyone's called in one way or another to do the work of the ministry. Every one of us. It takes everyone doing their part. Listen, I'm going to go out on a limb here and think, you know what? God had it right when He built the church. You go, what do you mean? He brought a bunch of us in and He gave us all different gifts to accomplish His work. And we're all different. And it takes every one of us. It takes every one of us. But let me say this. You ready? Even those who didn't go back to Jerusalem because they were too old or they were too young, they actually prayed and supported the work back home. And so sometimes you think, I'm too old. I can't do much. Pastor, I can't clean the church, or I can't do children's ministry, or I can't do sound. You know what? You can pray and support the work. You can pray and support the work. This is what we learn. Look at verse 6. This Ezra, Pastor Ezra, came up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord of God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Guys, Ezra was one of the later Jews who returned from captivity to Judah and Jerusalem. Although in chapters, 1 and 2, we saw so many, Ezra wasn't one of them. But here's what I love. What was Ezra doing back in Babylon? He was being prepared by God. There is probably some of us who has these crazy personality that God's going to use. And here's what I love to say. Listen, I'll use Pastor Soph since he's right in front and he always gets it. Pastor Soph has the same zeal that he had as an unbeliever, same competitiveness that he has as an unbeliever that he has as a believer. So when Soph got saved, you guys with me? God didn't go, oh, well, I need to change your personality. You were just an encourager, and you were this guy. He said, I'm going to take who you are and use it for my glory. The same thing he did with Saul, right? Saul of Tarsus. He didn't go, Saul, now that you're saved, that same zeal that Saul had, well, it's the same zeal that you have. You're just a saved zeal now. That sounded like a saved seal, didn't it?
Right.
You're just a saved seal.
Oh, oh, oh.
And so God is preparing Ezra. Guys, it's so amazing because God is still preparing you for the task at hand. He's preparing you. He sends what? What has he been doing? Well, he's a skilled scribe of Moses, and that sounds kind of boring, but I like what David Guzik writes, and he writes this. To us, a scribe sounds like a glorified secretary, someone who simply writes. But that's not the idea of the description of Ezra. For the Jewish culture of that day, a skilled scribe was an expert in the law of Moses, someone who is likely trained lawyer in the word of God. Who's God using? Pastor Ezra. Why? Because their hearts have gone from God, that he's got to bring them back to God. Guys, listen, God is ordaining and calling pastors to bring people back to the word of God. That's what he's doing. I got to be honest with you. If you would have asked me at 13 years old or 15 years old or when I graduated high school, hey, are you going to be a pastor? I would have said, a pastor? Are you crazy? That wasn't even in the radar. But God had his way, and he knew what he was going to do. I didn't know what he was going to do. But just like that, he made Ezra a skilled scribe. Think about this, guys. And it says here, the king granted him his request. Look at verse 7. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the Nethinim, came to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes, and Ezra came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. Here's what he's saying. In verse 7 and 8, guys, it's really this. They're just servants. He goes, what do you are? He says, some of the children of Israel, some of the priests came, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, all these people, even the Nethinim, and you go, who are the Nethinim? These are temple servants, but these are the descendants of the Gibeonites back in Joshua chapter 9. So these were just temple servants. They all came back serving the Lord. And here's the point. It takes all of us. You, my friends, are saved to serve. You're saved to serve in one way or another. God doesn't just save you to have you sit in the sidelines. It's like a football team, okay? It's like a football team. What happens? You have 22 men in the field desperately needing rest, and you have all of these people in the stands desperately needing exercise. That's the church, isn't it? You have a bunch of people doing the work, and others going, yeah, well, I'm saved. I'm just going to save you. No, God's called you to do something. In verse 9, it says this, on the first day of the 10th month, he began his journey from Babylon. On the first day of the 5th month, he came to Jerusalem. According to the hand of his God was upon him. So it seemed like it took Ezra 4 months to travel 900 miles, okay? It was necessary for him to move at a slow pace. You go, why? Well, again, think about this. It had to be short, easy stages, and he had to conduct a large caravan of poor people, including women and children. He was going back, but it was taking time. It took him 4 months. And as we come to verse 10, I want to remind you, because there's some great application here, okay? Ezra, yes, sir, go home. Okay, I've got a job for you. How long is it going to take me? 4 months. What are you going to do? Well, here are the keys to building the foundation of our heart in verse 10. Guys, go with me to verse 10. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. If you're an underliner, that's a great verse to underline, but let me give it to you in the Peterson paraphrase. Ezra had committed himself to studying God's word, to living it, and to teaching Israel to live its truth in its ways. Your attention, please. Ezra had to prepare his heart in order to build the foundation in the people's heart. How important is it, number one, church, for you to pray for your pastors? And I say that sincerely. We don't come up here and wing it. We don't come up here and just kind of go, I'm going to talk off the top of my head. I'm going to tell you stories, and then we're going to sing one song and go home. Our pastors who preach, pray, and seek God and teach the Bible. If if there's anybody who ever stands behind this pulpit, my prayer is that God is already working in their heart. Why? Because the foundation of my heart has to be built in order to build the foundation in your heart. This is why, church, we come and we come ready to receive under the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do you have for us? So what are the keys? What are the keys? What are they, Ben? What are the keys to building the foundation of our heart? Number one, commit yourselves to studying the Word of God. That's Captain Obvious, but it needs to be said. Commit yourself to studying the Word of God. We often use a church service as being fed. Well, you can't just eat on Sundays and Wednesdays. You'll starve to death. And so studying the Word of God is eating on a daily basis. And although this is good and you come in here and you take notes, I'll tell you where ministry really happens is when you get alone with God and He speaks to you in the only way He can. But you're studying God's Word. Now, be careful. There are times when we have Bible reading plans and we're just reading and we're grasping and we're just making notes. And there's times when we're in deep study. So what does He say? To build the foundation of your heart, you need to study the Word of God. You need to study. Why? Why should we study the Word of God? Well, first and foremost, the Word of God is infallible. There's no error in God's Word. The law of the Lord is perfect concerning the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is not only infallible, it's inerrant. The Word of God is complete. The Bible doesn't need any new chapters or new verses, any new revelations. It's all right here, Genesis to Revelation. The Word of God is totally authoritative. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119:89. The Word of God is totally sufficient for our needs. We don't need anything else. You got to grasp that. If you have a problem, find it in the Word of God. Find it in the Word of God. The Word of God will accomplish what it promises. If God told you something will happen, you wait, it'll happen. That's the first thing, studying the Word of God. The second thing of building the foundation of our heart, number two, jot this down, we need to live the Word of God. The key word is obedience. Obedient. It's Hebrews chapter 4 and 12 that says this, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart." You go, "Pastor, what's this mean?" It just means that obedience is the key. In order to live the Word of God, you must first know the Word of God. So if you're going to build the foundation of your heart like God wants to do, what does He say? He says, know the Word of God, study the Word of God, and live the Word of God. Our questions, church, should be this. What is that in God's Word, and then I'll obey? Where is that in God's Word, and then I'll obey? Think about this real quick. Give me 30 seconds of your time. You'll have a knock on the door. You'll have somebody, and they'll bring you their doctrine. "Hey, I want to talk to you about this and this and this." Your goal is to go, "Show me that in God's Word, and I'll obey." "Well, that's not, no. Here's my Bible," because they'll come into your house, and they'll have their own Bible, or they'll do something else. And no, I want to know. Find it in here. Show me where it is in here. Not your interpretation, not what you think. I want to know for myself, show me where it is, and then I'll obey. The Bible tells us to speak the Word of God in season and out of season. The Bible tells us to sing the Word of God. It's called praise and worship. The Bible tells us that we need to pray the Word of God, and we should always be thinking the Word of God. See, this act of thinking the Word of God is often called meditation, and we're meditating on God's Word and God's Word. Last but not least, guys, building the foundation of our heart is to teach the Word of God. "Oh, no, Pastor, you're the teacher." No. What I'm talking about is teaching everyday truths. Everyday truths. Learn them, obey them, and then begin to teach them. Begin to teach them. One of the best Bible studies I had was when I had my girls. We had moved into our house in Missouri, and we were going to remodel the bathroom, and we were going to just tear off the wallpaper. And so me and my girls, they're little, and we're in there, and we start tearing wallpaper down. And behind this wallpaper was even uglier wallpaper. It was that 70s wallpaper that was, it was like bright green and gold and all this stuff. And so we had a really neat Bible study, because once we started trying to peel this down, here's what we found. We found that second wallpaper on the wall was probably used with cement, it felt like. It wasn't coming off. First one came off really easy, like you just... And this one is like, and so we started talking about what this looked like. And the Bible study was really simple. It's like, oh, this one's a hard one. This is a big sin. And the kids, we were talking about sin and how this sin is hard and it's ugly and it's yucky and we need to rid it from our lives. And the kids are little. I didn't sit down and go, okay, open your Bibles, girls. You know, and they're two going, what? We just had a Bible study, and here's the point. The point is that you're teaching the Word of God every day. You're teaching the truth in God's Word. And I'll tell you a really neat way. Hey, you know what I learned today? Can I share what I learned today? And this is so cool. And then ask him, what do you think about that? What did God speak to you today? And you can learn and teach the Word of God. I love that sometimes in our fellowship, guys, it starts out, we'll be talking about sports, and then the conversation ends up talking about Jesus. Why? Because we're saturated with the Word of God, and it's going to be, it wants to come out, right? Hey, man, do you see the Philadelphia Eagles this year? Yeah, there's something in the Bible about eagles, right? And we'll start talking about eagles in the Bible, and youths that won't grow weary, and, you know, I mean, it's always something cool like that. Guys, study the Word of God. You want to build a foundation of your heart, study the Word of God. Obey the Word of God and teach the Word. This is prescribed here in the book of Ezra. This is what Ezra is going back to do. Think about this, okay? This is the last thought, and we're going to close with this, okay? We talked about the Holy Spirit being our helper, okay? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does in us? You go, what do you mean? Well, number one, he helps us to study the Word of God. He illuminates those things. Let me say this. How many of you have read the Bible so many times and then you'll open another passage, a familiar passage, and read it and it jumps out at you like, oh my gosh, I've only read this like 500 times. How come I didn't see it here before? That's the Holy Spirit. And it begins to work in your heart. Oh, I'll tell you another way. The Holy Spirit begins to knock on your heart and he says, let the scripture read you. Where are you in the text? And he begins to teach us, guys. It's called theology because it's the study of God through his word. Number two, the Holy Spirit helps us to obey the Word of God. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit helps us to obey. My flesh wants to go this way. The Holy Spirit says, no, you need to obey. You need to obey. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit is so beautiful that he often, I don't know, shows us consequences if we were to go down this path before it happens. And you really want to do this? This is where your life could end up. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know why I was entertaining those thoughts. And last but not least, guys, the Holy Spirit helps us in teaching the Word. Why? Because all we have to do is teach everyday truths. Everyday truths. Amen. Father, tonight we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. What a beautiful Bible study, God. And we just thank you, Lord, tonight. Lord, building our foundation, that's where it's at. That the Holy Spirit would just use us, and thank you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Ezra and the comfort he's going to bring in these next chapters. And thank you for your precious Holy Spirit guiding us and protecting us. Father, we commit right now to studying your word, obeying your word, and teaching your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith encourages your walk with God as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.